Well, good morning. It's good to see each one of you here. How did the extra hour go? For whatever reason, I am not convinced. One iota at all. Yeah. Well, hopefully the rest of the week it bears itself out well for you too. Hey, we're in a new series starting today, and it's called, as it reads up there, Thanks and Giving. Today we're going to take a journey, and it's found in Luke's gospel. Next week, Dr. Dahlia Nuish Olver will be with us. She's on a thanks tour herself because she is stepping out of the mission field and everyday life. I don't know what that looks like. I mean, I don't know. But she's going to come by, and she has a very interesting story that some of you will know about, some of you will resonate with, and that she wants to tell, and some of you don't know about. It's about a cup of tea that got poured here in our community that affected South America. You want to come, you want to bring your friends, because it will be a story and a half. The next few weeks will be, week after that, we'll be talking about Always. You can only imagine what that might be. And then the week after that, the week of Thanksgiving will be Naturally. This is, I don't know how many of you go to Chick-fil-A, have ever gone to Chick-fil-A, but it's one of our family's favorite places to go. It is a fast food restaurant, but I'm impressed by the company, so impressed by the company. This is a quote that's on their website. It says, we should be more about than just selling chicken. We should be a part of our customers' lives and the communities in which we serve. Every time that I've gone to Chick-fil-A, I don't know about you, every time I've gone to Chick-fil-A, it's a very gracious and kind of attitude. There's just a great atmosphere that takes place. They go out of their way to make sure that you're served, that you're part of being being served in an awesome kind of a fashion. Now, there are a couple of things I think about when I go and I take my family to Chick-fil-A. One of them is that chicken can't cost this much. But the incredible thing, the incredible thing is I continue to go back. That's the draw. That really is the draw. On a side note, for those of you who like to do financial figures, most fast food good restaurants, Taco Bell, does about $1.7 million per location above and beyond. Chick-fil-A does a little bit better than that, even though they're closed on Sunday. Go figure. Anyway, $4.8 million per location. Isn't that incredible? An incredible change? Incredible difference. This is the point, though, that I'm trying to make with Chick-fil-A. If you've ever been there, you know it's very intentional. You may go to locations, restaurants, or different companies, different people that you frequent on a regular basis, is that you like to go back to, not just because you go back because it's cheap or easy or whatever the case may be, but you go back because it's intentional. Every time I've gone, it has been super intentional about what they do. In fact, one of the things that captures my attention, captures Kathy's attention, is they say, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. They understand this principle that Truett Cathy, before he passed away and through the endurance up to his time, and now Dan has taken the company and continues to perpetuate this truth amongst all of their locations, is that it's got to be intentional. It has to be on purpose. There's nothing done by accident, nothing good done by accident, by the way, right? That the culture is driven from the values and principles which guide them and their very business. That they're more than just a sandwich, a chicken sandwich shop, but they're part of the very fabric of the community. And this is our point this morning. When it comes to gratitude, when it comes to thanksgiving, and when it comes to praise to God, and if you want to put others, but really to God this morning, it must be intentional. We're not a people that are naturally grateful for the things around us. You ever noticed? Get into it a little later. We say around here we are a people who live to love. We're a people who live to love. Love God, love all people, and follow Jesus together. We're, as a people, we desire to love God. We gather to give him praise and prepare us for his kingdom and for his kingdom to come through us. We grow to get to know him as Paul prayed in his prayer that our lives would express the depth, the width, and the length of the love of Jesus Christ. And that our lives would be marked by not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus. So as we go, we give him glory in all we do. We reflect him to the world in which we live. That's our desire. That's our goal. That's our mission. That's our call. Not as a company, not as a corporation, but as followers of Jesus Christ, no matter where we are. Why? Why do we do that? For the very reason we were singing a moment ago. The very reason. Because he first loved us. He loved first with his own son's life. If you have your Bibles, please turn in Luke 17. Luke 17. Go ahead and turn there, if you will. Luke 17, starting with the 11th verse. If we could do this morning, we don't do this normally, but I think that there are days and times that our posture matters, and standing would be a way to honor God's word this morning. So will you join me, if you can, this morning as we read together Luke 17, starting in the 11th verse. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Father God, I ask that you would open the word of truth to us in a way that we have yet not seen. That, Father, maybe we have seen it in that way, but, Father, our hearts need to be warmed again to the truth of it. May that be so, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. There's an interesting thing. Jesus wasn't like the rest. And when I mean the rest, he was not like the other rabbis, the other people who were leading, teaching, and doing other things. He kind of had a way about him. The disciples were a great example of this. All of these men who he selected had been passed over. All of them. Every single one of them had been passed over by those who were in the know. Those who were in power, those who thought they knew what God the Father was looking for, right? Abraham. I mean, this is an incredible thing. And yet sometimes we pass it by, but the author of Luke wants to drive home the point that Jesus doesn't look at what we look at. Jesus doesn't see the way we see. Jesus looks beyond to the heart. He looks beyond to others. To those who have been discarded by society. So before we get too far into this message, we need to understand the context of what he's writing. He's writing to those who see and seek God's desire, God's best for the kingdom. And Luke's drive in this is to show that the kingdom that Jesus wishes to have people inhabit are those who desire to have it. Those who are the least, because they know they are. Not because we despise them and put them on the outside, but because they know they are. The left outs, those who, you know, have you ever played the game Red Rover at school? I mean, this takes me way back, right? Have you ever played that game, right? And the kid, you're the kid that never gets selected. That's Jesus. He's gone, hey, I want you, right? I mean, think about it. Matthew, the tax collector, talk about a person who was hated by his own and how it threw, must have thrown the disciples he had already gathered with him and started walking towards the table. And they weren't, I mean, why are we walking towards this person? Jesus, don't you know that he doesn't? And he says, hey, Matthew, come follow me. Right? The left outs, the lost, the outcasts. This is Jesus' kingdom. This is his desire. Take a trip back to Matthew chapter 5 through 7. The Beatitude will give you the heart of what Jesus desires there. It just reminds me of our desire to see those who have yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel come to Community Meal and Story, just to be able to get a glimpse, to create a space, create an opportunity, create an open space of welcoming. But this is what Jesus was about. He was about making sure that those who may be outcast by society, by our minds, whoever they may be, would feel welcome, would feel, well, part of the kingdom. And as he was going into the village, the ten men who had leprosy, they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. Now, we don't have too many people that have leprosy in our midst now. It's called Hansen's disease, I believe. Now, we don't usually refer to it as leprosy. But anything with a skin disease, according to Leviticus 13 or Numbers chapter 5, we're told to live on the outskirts. They were the outcast. Literally, they were cast out. I mean, these are part of the rules of living in that society. The leprosy would, as we know now, would affect their nerve endings. And sometimes they would get too close to a fire and, you know, their fingers would be burned off. Or in some cases, you know, if they're just sitting there or sleeping, you know, heaven forbid, some animal might get hungry and chew off a piece and a portion of them. I mean, this is the kind of people they were, and they knew this. They understood, right? They understood that they needed to keep a distance. And so when we read this passage of Scripture, they're doing exactly what you would expect. They've been commanded to do this. They're commanded to stay at a distance, cover themselves, and even, as we may understand a little bit later, is, you know, yell out, unclean, unclean. Don't come near me. Stay away from me. You don't want what I have. You don't want to be, in some cases, they carry the identity. You don't want to be who I am. Right? And they would stand at a distance. But the incredible thing with this passage is that Jesus tells them to do something that is just so outside of this norm. Tells them to go. He tells them to walk toward the priest. Now, in any one of these towns that they would have been around, there would have been a priest available to make sure that they were, you know, to see how their skin disease was, whether it's being healed or whatever. But can you imagine as you're walking into town, you're yelling out unclean, you're covered unclean, you're walking towards that way. This is a real test of faith on behalf of those ten. They ask for him to have pity on them. But can you imagine? Hey, go where you're not wanted. Go where you might be shunned. Go where they may tell you, hey, go back outside. Go back into the corners. Go back where you were in your community outside the town. While this is external, my question to you this morning is, what about you? What about you that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, has pinged you about and has said go? You go, I can't do that. I'm not sure that's for me. I'm not sure that that's where I should be walking. That's not, wait a second, do you know who I am? But he has ushered the words to you, go. As we understand it now, we have read it. It is a test of faith, yet in comparison, we find ourselves often in the same place, don't we? Right? It's a test of the faith and a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart because these men looked into the face of one they had heard on the street, the word on the street that he had healed before. In fact, you're going to look back in Luke, and some of you already know that. You look back in Luke, he already healed one leper. So I'll stand at a distance, have pity on me, you know, have mercy on me. It's a matter of the heart. Right? But what about us? What are we saying no to Jesus about? What are we hesitant, resistant about this morning? These 10, as we will read, walked on. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. Wow. As they were walking, can you imagine this? Can you even imagine? You're walking, and all of a sudden, you're healed. There's no more skin disease. There's nothing there. Now, they still had to go to the priest. They still had to be cleared. They still had to walk through all of those Old Testament procedures to make sure that they could be around the community, whether Samaritan or not. They still had to walk in and go, is this clean? And they're cleared. They're cured as they walked. But one, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And not just any kind of way, but in a loud voice. See, praise, thankfulness, and gratitude rise from a heart of humility. Rise from a heart of humility. That's where it comes from. It's just that, wait a second, it's not me. I may have asked, but it wasn't me. I went to the priest, I'm clean, but it wasn't the priest. Who was it? It comes from realizing that Jesus is who Jesus says he is. That he is Lord over everything, that he will heal, and that he did heal. They had this disease that was taking them from family and friends and from community. They were isolated. But this is what we need to know. This is what we need to understand. A thankful and grateful heart will always pull you closer to Jesus. Always pull you closer to Jesus. Ungratitude. Ungratefulness, if you will pull you away. It will pull you away from the Father. It will separate you. When we live in thankfulness, when we live in gratefulness, it will separate you from the crowds of ungrateful, disrespectful, grumbling, complaining, and contemptuous people in our world. It will pull you away. You will be distinguished differently. Right? It's just the way it is. Jesus asked, were not all the 10 cleansed? And we know by this implication, by the way, that all 10 were cured. They were all cured of their leprosy. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And I remind you that Jesus is pointing out that it's not those who knew, but those who didn't know that became whole in Jesus. It's the humility of the heart that led this one Samaritan, this foreigner, all the way back to Jesus' feet. It was deep gratitude for realizing that it came from a source that was not himself, but only could come from God, that led him all the way back to him. And there's a little play on words here. You may not see this, you may not know this, but Judah's name, so Israel and Judah, inside Judah's name is a reminder of the Jews to praise God at all times and always and in everything. It was right there in their own name, praise God. And yet he points out that it wasn't those who knew, but those who didn't know who moved their way back. Isn't that incredible? We have reminders all over the place. We have a cross in our church. We have a church building. We have different ways that we're reminded on a regular basis that, hey, Jesus is supposed to be the center of life. God's supposed to be the center of our life. The community is supposed to be the center of our life. And yet, we forget to praise. We forget to be grateful. We forget to live in a way that represents our very Lord, in a way that separates us from the rest, makes us distinctly holy and distinct from others in that way. So the question is, will you be the one? Will you be the one? Will you be the one to ask for from God, whatever it may be, if you fill in the blank, and then just keep moving on as if you were entitled to? Will you be the one to just plead for a job and say, Lord, I'll give you anything. I'll give you my firstborn. Kidding, right? He wants all of them, by the way, not just your firstborn. And then go, well, you know, life's good. Life's going all right. Hey, I got that job. Man, it's going great. Or you get the job. This is how our world works, right? We get the job we've been pleading for, and then we complain about the job we pleaded for. Come on. And what's even worse, friends, you like me, and when we're not in our right mind and right space, and I say that really in a humble way, we like to shimmy up next to these people who are in grumbling, complaining, and contemptuous, don't we? We like to sit with them and go, oh, you're right. You should go after that. You should tell them off. You should, right? Why? Because we forget what he's done for us. We forget what he's given to us. We forget that God is God. He's given us life and life abundantly. He's given us that job. Let's just say that. And we go, Let me ask this. 1 degree difference. What if you moved and it's more than 1 degree? I get it. What if you just said, I'm not going to complain the rest of this week. I'm not going to grumble. I'm actually the very things that he gives to me that I'm like, I don't know how to see my way through. You take it as an act of faith, a test of faith to say, Jesus, you brought me here. You'll take me the rest of the way through it. All my words coming out of my mouth will emanate from a heart that's being transformed into gratitude. It'll be changed from this, they should have, they owe me. And really, you know what we're saying ultimately. That's why we say it all goes all back to God. We're, God, you're not good enough. Let me tell you how it should be done. I know how it should be. That doesn't mean we correct wrongs. I'm talking about an ungrateful spirit, heart. Will you be the one? Will you be the one to kind of go, okay, it's coming on, and as Kathy has told us so well, spend a few moments when you know the grumbling's coming on. Jesus, I need you more than I need anything else right now. I need you to change my heart because I know you are good and everything that comes from you is good because you are a good father. I know that you desire the good for me. And so because of that, I will focus and give my life and transform my heart into sharing your praise and your glory to others and to you first. You going to take those moments? What we don't see about this passage is this, and we look right past it potentially because our eyes aren't trained to see past the words into the Greek. It's just the way it is. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Wait. Jesus, this one has already been cured. Why are you curing him again? Should be our question. Because he's not. Do you remember when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house and Zacchaeus stood up and said, hey, I'm going to give back how many fold? Somebody remember? How many fold, Ty? I don't remember now. However many fold, I'm going to give it all back. What did he say to Zacchaeus and to the household? Salvation has come to this house, has come to Zacchaeus, basically, right? That's what he's saying right here. You see, when we may be cured, but when we don't present ourselves before the Lord, we may miss out on our opportunity for, can I say it? Salvation. We may be healed from our diseases. We may get the job, but if we forget that God calls us to give him praise and glory, we may lose out on our salvation. Now, that's a strong statement, and I'm sure a lot of theologians would take me to task on that. But I don't think it's too far off. How far can you go in disrespecting God, disdaining God, and live within rules only, not relationships? See, this is what it is. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship that you realize, whoa, this one loved me so much to cure my disease, give me a job, make sure I had a car, whatever those are. He loves me so much that he desires a relationship with me. You see, this is what we see. Rise and go is in this chapter 15 or 17 of Luke. If you go back two chapters to Luke 15, you see the words in the parable of a lost son, right? Of the parable of the sons, really, is what it should be. Was this phrase, was dead and is alive again. It is the same root word. It's the same root. So when we ask for something and we thank him for it, and we go on our merry way going, oh yeah, thanks, you know, I'm good. I'm good now. See how that works? I'm good now. We miss out on the resurrection roots of what he wants to do deeper into us. It's kind of like a surprise in the text. It's kind of the end of the story that sometimes we tap out before we really should tap out, if you know what I'm saying, right? It's this wild opportunity that we have to go deep with the Lord and to see a renovation of the heart at a deeper level. It's kind of, okay, this is chinky, but this is the only thing that came to my mind this week as I was working through this. It's kind of like the Cracker Jack box, right? Now, some of us love caramel corn, or Cracker Jack, as you may well call it, right? And we discard the box, realizing there is a treat in there for us. Now, many of us wouldn't do that. I get that. But it'd be like that. And I love, by the way, the one I loved the most out of the Cracker Jack box as a kid was the tattoo. I don't have any, but I love the tattoo one. I just loved it. I don't remember any of them, but I was like, oh, cool. I get to, you know. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. It's got to be intentional. So let me ask this question. What is intentional about your life that gives thankfulness, gratefulness, and praise to God? What is there about your life that other people go, oh, no, it's right there. I see it. So what's our next steps? This is what we know. This is what we know from the text. This is what we know about our own lives. This is what we know about the pattern of other people, right? How many of you have opened a door, done something for somebody else? I mean, this is, we don't have to go too far. And they shrug it off. And when I say shrug it off, they don't show any thanks. Or if they do, it's really insignificant or passing or limp, if you will, right? But gratitude is intentionally clothing myself in humility, reminding myself over and over and over again that I don't know. I am not in charge. That God is the one. He is the one that gets all my attention. Colossians 3 tells us this. Therefore, I'm going to read the whole passage. Hang on here. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dear loved. I love how Paul does that. He kind of swoops you up, right? Kind of goes, woo, you're in there. You're holy and dear loved. Hang on here. I have something to say to you. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if you have any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of the body, we were called to peace and be thankful. Why? Because he's just clothed you in something you can't possess on your own. You can't do this on your own. Only the Holy Spirit through the word of truth, through the community of faith, by the way. It does come by the community of faith because they're the ones that go, yeah, that ouch, that hurt. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a bad thing. Forgiveness just shows us where is where we need to get to step in. We relationally are starting to relate and we're starting to learn. Forgiveness is not a bad thing. We just have to step into it and ask for it, give it, those type of things. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach, admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms, through hymns, and songs from the Spirit. By the way, I was at a gathering just recently where the songs of the Spirit, maybe you're not familiar with this, those are the ones that erupt from a gathering of people just pleading for the Lord. And we had a few people that came to the stage, and the guy who was leading us, he runs an international prayer movement, used to, he just handed it off last week, international prayer movement called 24/7. And he said, hey, this is a great meeting. He said, anybody have a song in the Spirit? Like, oh, this is going to be good. And like three or four people gave him up and just extemporaneously began to speak, singing glory and praise to the Lord. It was such a beautiful thing. Just beautifully and so edifying, by the way. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are to clothe ourselves intentionally with humility that allows the other things to permeate, to saturate us. Lord, I'm not a kind person. I'm not a gentle person. I'm definitely not a grateful person. Father, you have to help me. You know, when we do that, we live to the first of the 10 words or the 10 commandments. When we say, Father, I need you. I need you. And everything that I get from you is from your hand. I am grateful. Guess what we live to? Putting no other gods before him. We just get to live in that love and that saturation. We get to live in that relationship that is so profound that John chapter 17 talks about this intermingling of the love of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We, as he prayed, get to then come into that and just be immersed in that love and feel it and sense it in community with him individually and then corporately too. God's word in Psalm 1 says, God's word instructs us Psalm 1, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I want to give you a few ways in which you can do that today. I'm going to give all these to you. Slow down. Slow down. That's a word to my heart the last probably 8 hours. Slow down. But this is a word to all of us all the time. Slow down. The world wants you to be consumed in it. The world and its culture wants you to be consumed by it. Slow down. Speak the language. I'll come back to these. Speak the language. Share gratitude for and with others and return to praise and glorify God. Friends, we are going faster than the Lord. There's a Japanese theologian back in the 70s who wrote this, that we serve and live to a 3-mile-an-hour God. Did you know that? That's how fast we walk, by the way. When we start to outpace God, we start to outpace what God wants to do in our lives and really what he wants to see developed into us. And so we have this wonderful opportunity just to slow down, and he'll take care of it. I promise he'll take care of all those things you're worrying about. He'll take care of all those things I'm worrying about right now. They're even on my mind as I'm talking to you. He'll take care of them. This is your go. This is your test of faith. Can you do it? Oh, people of this culture. We need to speak the language. Some of us just need to give God glory and praise and thankfulness on a regular basis. In every single conversation we have, there's opportunities to speak into, wow, isn't it great that the Lord has provided? Isn't it wonderful that God is so good, right? Now, I get it. You're not talking to fellow followers of Jesus in all situations. But can I tell you what's been happening recently that I've taken notice of, and especially my wife who teaches in Ann Arbor Public Schools? There are a few teachers who are followers of Jesus. And while we may be quick to say to somebody when they sneeze, bless you, they have gone and very purposefully, Kathy and I have talked about this, she knows the person who, you know, has very, very intentional, and we've kind of said, well, why is that? What's the change? I think it's intentionally speaking God's name into and through people. Now, we don't believe that if you don't say, bless you, you know where this all started, right? That the Spirit would leave you if you didn't say, God bless you soon, or whatever the case. Come on, we don't believe that. But what we do believe is that if we speak God's name, God's presence, God's dwelling, it, one, it reminds us. Two, it allows us to bless into people. Three, it allows us to give glory to God. I mean, even in the saying, God bless you. There's a guy I listen to every once in a while. There's somebody that sneezes in his congregation, and he's very rhythmic with it, but he'll just kind of say, God bless you, right? I mean, and I'm thinking, wow, I think it needs to be more than that, but if that's your starting point, please start now. God desires to have his name spoken to be glorified in the world. He spoke us into existence. He spoke everything into existence. He wishes for us to simply speak the language of praise, thankfulness, and gratitude. To move into that territory, clothing ourselves with a humility. God, you've given me everything. My gratitude's to you. So we need to share it for and with others. And I suppose this comes speaking, but it also comes in writing. Right? You have people in your life. In the 9 Arts group that we have this morning, we kind of wrestle with this idea. Who welcomed you so that you could wrestle with faith? Well, I have a slew of people in my life that I think of that they just welcome me in. They let me wrestle as a young kid, as a teenager, with issues of just some theological frameworks that I was just working with. It's our opportunity to say, God placed you in my life. Thank you for doing that. Maybe that's your job this week, is to write a thank you note to somebody. And just thank them, but make them realize that they were being used by God. See, that's the circle. It all goes back to God. When David sinned with Bathsheba, we talked about this two weeks ago. When he sinned against Bathsheba, we have Psalm 51, right? That we can go to. If you didn't know that, Psalm 51, a lot of people see that as David's confession confession to God, right? And he said, to you, O God, alone have I sinned. Now, did he sin against, you know, Bathsheba? Sure he did. Uriah, yeah. I mean, there are 4 people that lives were taken in that whole mess, right? But he understood that God was the author of every single one of those lives, that those lives were precious in God's sight, that they were valuable to him. We have a wonderful opportunity to just speak it in and around and for around other people so they see and hear us. And I would be remiss to kind of miss out on the last one, right? Return. Return to praise and glorify God. Return to praise and glorify God. Do you think it was a little inconveniencing for this one to kind of try to find Jesus after all this while? I think so. I mean, Jesus was traveling. Now, I don't know if he stayed in the area, but he had to inconvenience himself to go find the one. He had to go to the priest. Remember we said that. He had to go to the priest to get cleared so he could walk around town. I don't know how long that took. I don't know what the process is. I didn't live during that day. I'm sure we could find out. But he had to inconvenience himself. Can I just ask you, inconvenience yourself to return to praise God and glorify him? And what am I speaking? Can I speak very plainly? God, the gathering is not an option in your list. Service in church is not an option on your list. You may be wondering, and I don't know this. I really don't know this. But could you be missing out on your rise and go because you just kind of, tired today. I don't know. Hey, let's go golfing. I don't know. Let's plan something over the top of this. That's for you and the Lord to wrestle out. But I pose it there as, I wonder, why is it that Chick-fil-A, right back there, why is it that Chick-fil-A closes on Sunday, gets lambasted because of their stances ethically and morally that align biblically and yet make almost 2.5 times in some cases more financially than any other fast food restaurant? Why? I wonder, did they step into their rise and go? Did they step into this, hey, they were dead and now they're alive? Did they step into their opportunity for resurrection? I am not promising you money by any stretch of the imagination, but I am promising that living to the glory of God is your best design. Could it be? I wonder. There's a song that really has taken my heart recently. It's called Defender. And these are the words in it. And they speak in a lot of different ways, but it says this: all I did was praise, all I did was worship, all I did was bow down, all I did was stay still. You see, it's not our work. It's God's work on our behalf. And we just have the wonderful opportunity to go, whoa, look at my God. Look at what he's doing. Look at what he can do. Look at what he wants to do in us. Hebrews 13:15 says this: through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God our sacrifice of praise. Because in some cases, that's what it will be for you. In some cases, you're sitting here going, you don't know. I don't know. But he is asking you for a sacrifice of praise. The fruit that lips, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name is how that ends. Oh, may we do that. We must be intentional with our gratitude, with our thankfulness, and with our praise to God. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. Man, this is a powerful punch in a day and age where, wow, we think we're owed. Let's just be honest. But Father, we have come to realize that we're not owed. We owe a debt of love in our life to you. Father, there are those in our midst that this is new information for. This is hard to take. This is hard to swallow. Yet, Father, by your Holy Spirit, would you help us to grow into this? That gratitude is something that you call us into, and gratitude comes in many different forms, but it must be lived out, not just be silently bantered around in our brains. Father, would you give us the joyful response of showing gratitude this week in multiple ways? Father, some this morning came in realizing that they're living in a life that, Father, is demonstrating ingratitude. They're grumbling, they're complaining, and yet they do not know how to change their hearts. Before the thought even comes to their mind, it's out of their mouth about, "Ugh, this is bad, that's good, I could do better." You know, Father, would you by your Holy Spirit allow them to be still in you? Allow your Spirit to redefine their hearts, that they may experience joy. They may experience peace, Lord. They may experience your love in an all-consuming way. Father, for those who are living a life that is just less than, Father, you invite them into a life that is greater than. It's filled with your love and your mercy, a life that, well, they hunger for. This morning, if that's you, you hunger for a relationship with Jesus who can not only cure you, but make you well. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, grace, and love found in and through Jesus. Save me and forgive me from my sins. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you in Jesus' name. And we gratefully say, amen, amen.